Hi, I'm Shannon, your leader for this meeting. There is a recording of this meeting. This meeting is being recorded with the intent to distribute. Recorded meetings provide a valuable resource for SNOM members. By voluntarily sharing in this recorded meeting, members are providing expressed permission to Essanon International Family Groups to record and distribute this material. As such, it's important to keep the following meeting guidelines. When sharing, please speak clearly into the microphone. Can you pause it for just a second?
We are sure.
We speak about and from the Essanon point of view. Will those who care to join me in a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Again, hi, I'm Shannon. I'm from Brea, California. Today, I would like to read the Essanon problem. Does anybody have that? Oh, 12 steps. Read the specific readings. Do you have your book with you? Or okay, then let's just read. Here is the problem. Would you like to read that?
This is the Essanon problem, the short version. Essanon members have much in common with the friends and relatives of other addicted people. Most of us grew up in families with secrets, and we were not taught to think about our own needs and take positive action to meet them. We chose friends and partners who could not or would not love and support us in a healthy way. We lived life from the standpoint of victims and perceived any personal criticism as a threat. For most of us, anger, fear, and depression were nearly constant. We accepted some unhealthy beliefs about ourselves very early in our lives, that we were not worthwhile and lovable, that we were able to control other people's behavior, and that sex was the most important sign of love. We have also felt the shame of thinking we were responsible for the sexaholic behavior of a family member or friend. Our self-esteem dropped to low levels, and we doubted our attractiveness, our emotions, and our sanity. We have felt betrayed by those we loved the most. Many of us were sexually abused, exposed to diseases, and otherwise placed in physical danger. We were often too ashamed to ask for help. Some of us minimized the importance of the sexaholic behavior or denied it until we felt emotionally numb. Others focused on the sexaholic and the sexual behavior to the point of obsession and tried every known method to control it. Some of us participated in sexual behavior that made us ashamed of ourselves or used sex to manipulate the sexaholic. Some of us misused drugs, alcohol, or food, and others kept so busy that we didn't have time to feel our emotions. We often neglected our health, our jobs, and our children. No matter how we tried to struggle against it, deny it, or minimize its effects, the failure of our efforts to cope with sexaholism brought us to the point of despair. This is what we mean when we say in the first step, our lives had become unmanageable.
Thank you for reading. Okay. The topic here today is hoping in a higher power. And I talk for about 10 minutes, it says. So I'm going to set my timer for 8. Because really, I could go on forever with this topic. Okay, hi, I'm Shannon. And this is a very central topic to my recovery as it has grown. I have had an explosion of faith in my higher power in, I would say, the last 2 or 3 years. When I came to program over 20 years ago, I started with no higher power at all. My father grew up in a house of very strict religion, and he was determined to not push that on us. And so in his decision to do that, he did not even say that God existed. So I came to program, and I immediately thought, oh my gosh, this is the 12 steps are an instruction book for how to live life. And part of that was coming into and building a relationship with my higher power. And it took me a long time because I didn't have anywhere to draw from. I see now that actually that was kind of in my favor because I could start from nothing and I didn't necessarily have a higher power that was already punishing me. So I'm very thankful that my sponsor was patient with me. And, you know, times when I doubted, she was okay with that. She would just say, you know, go ahead and put it in your God box. And if I put it in my God box, you know, I had to learn how to leave it there. And if I took it, you know, if I started fixating on it again, she would say, okay, take it out of your God box. You know, and that was how, like, this relationship went and learning how to let go and let God. So my relationship with my higher power, like I said, took a long time really to evolve, but it grew to a certain point in my program, and I really drew on that to reconcile the relationship with my qualifier. And it took me 6 years to decide to stay in the relationship. And I lived for 6 years, 3 months at a time, because I couldn't commit to the rest. And it was like being able to take one day at a time to a different level. And for each 3 months, I'm just watching to see if he's being either what they say in AA, a dry drunk, or is he somebody truly living in sobriety? In my case, he did not ultimately choose program, but I was able to continue because Essanon, I really had understood Essanon was my program. And so my faith grew. And after a while, I stopped feeling useful in my group. It was a very small group. And, you know, I just decided I wasn't going to go to program anymore. I still had learned quite a bit, and I still had a higher power. And, you know, it sustained me for the next several years. And I had a personal crisis, and I was brought to my knees. And after this, it took me a little while, but I felt like my higher power is like, you need to go back to Essanon. Because as soon as, like, with my personal crisis, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need a meeting. But he brought me back to Essanon, and I had to rebuild my relationship with my higher power. And I remember being in the meeting and saying, you know, I've done step one before. You know, I am powerless. But I couldn't get to that place that I was supposed to accept it. And so my powerlessness and unmanageability in the beginning was more snarky. You know, of course I'm powerless. Like, I would have fixed this. And yes, my life is unmanageable. So it was really very cranky. It was less about acceptance that I'm powerless. And yeah, that's why my life is unmanageable. So I stumbled along really frustrated that, you know, this was coming hard to me again. But as I have gone on, my relationship with my higher power has grown into something that sustains me. And I have had, you know, multiple specific spiritual awakenings, and they reflect where I'm at in my program. So, you know, some people talk about, you know, their higher power is like, they don't understand what it is. And I've heard it said, you know, if your higher power is not big enough, if you don't have a relationship that you want with your higher power, it's not big enough. You're not making room for that. And that has been the truth for me. Because every time I make more room and I trust more, it just grows. And honestly, the gift of program has been how much my higher power has grown and led me through different parts of my life. But I am 23 years from my first disclosure. And, you know, I found out 5 months ago that my husband has been acting out. And it's been going on for 6 years. And there was a point where a few years ago, like along the way, I have asked him, are you acting out? And it was turned into, well, you just are paranoid because you still go to those meetings. And I'm like, well, gee, you know, I'm like, maybe he's right. And that's that whole gaslighting thing, because I was right. And there was one point where I finally had come to a complete understanding and experience of let go and let God, and more will be revealed. Because I had an experience where I was convinced he was acting out. And like I was triggered just because he left the house. And I'm journaling and, you know, why am I triggered? And, you know, this is what he's doing. And but I'm having all of this Essanon, I guess, episode where, you know, I'm paranoid and I'm able to go to my higher power first, use the slogans. I was journaling and then, oops, there we go. And then I reached out in fellowship. I called my sponsor. And finally she said, is he trustworthy? Has he been trustworthy? And to the best of my knowledge, really he had been. And she said, okay, I think you need to sleep on it. And, you know, with that gift of program, you know, talking to my sponsor, reaching out to my higher power, that was one of my moments, a spiritual awakening, because I knew my higher power on a different level. I was able to go to sleep peacefully. And, you know, what I wrote was, you know, if it's God's timing, it's God's timing. And if it's not, more will be revealed. And that was let go and let God. And that was definitely a boost to my relationship with my higher power. You know, and here I am. 2-3 years later, and more was revealed. But I didn't live in fear all of that time. I had grown to trust my higher power. You know, so now, this might sound crazy, but with this recent discovery, I was, you know, driving on that day to my therapist's office because he said I could come in, and my Essanon growth is, all right, how is this an opportunity? And honestly, I felt like this, it sounds really strange, but I thought, okay, God, like, what is this? And I felt this was an opportunity for me to bring my qualifier back to God. And it made it so much easier when that's how I felt. It wasn't, I'm so wounded and he's done this to me. It was, how can I be an instrument of my higher power to help my husband come back to his higher power? Because he didn't really have a good relationship with God. He had not pursued program. And even though he went to church, it was a different kind of relationship. And, you know, that's not for me. You know, they say, let God do for you what you can't do for yourself. It's given me the strength to walk through this and not feel wounded or so much angry or a whole lot of resentment, because I've learned that it's not about me. You know, Essanon really tries to push that. It's not about me. And he's a sick person, not a bad person. And that is nothing I could have come to without program or relationship with my higher power. Thank you for letting me share. So please remember, oh, I already said that. Because our common welfare comes first, here are the guidelines for sharing during our meeting. Please come to the front of the room if you would like to share. Please remember, there is no crosstalk. That is, we share with the group as a whole rather than addressing comments or questions to individual members. We limit the length of our sharing so that everyone here will have a chance to speak. Our purpose in sharing is to discuss ourselves, not the sexaholic. Would somebody like to be the timer? I can do that. So, here we go. The meeting is open for sharing. You just come up and sit here in front of the microphone. And please be mindful of guidelines.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Jerry. It's nice to be here. Nice topic. I can say that because I've gotten a lot of help from a higher power through the years. I got tremendous help when I first got involved with Essanon, and I've had help through the years in my recovery and just situations that have happened that there's no doubt. I think probably the best thing that ever happened to me was when I was 31 and a half years old and I hit a bottom with my own alcohol. And I appreciate the Essanon literature when I came in and it talked about the sex addiction being like alcoholism. They were comparing it. And I thought, oh, wow, I get that. And that was good for me because I'm powerless over alcohol. And so I understood from the beginning, So that was the first help. Then when I got sober, I wasn't aware of my husband's double life until I got sober, because everything was always blamed on my drinking, and I bought into it. Well, now I'm clean and sober, and there's something wrong with my husband. And I wasn't sure exactly what it was. Because I'd been drunk for so many years anyway, but there's something going on here. So after, I think I was sober about 10 years when I had a feeling that he thought about sex too much. And I thought, I need help. And it was in 1987, I need help. And I thought, I'm going to call. The only thing I knew to do, you guys, I tried to talk to some AA and Al-Anon women that I knew from the place where I sobered up. I tried to mention, you know, this because some of their stories were about their husbands, this and that, acting out, and everybody tight-lipped. Nobody was talking. I got no help when I tried to talk to the women, you know, after the meeting. So I thought, okay, I'll have to call Alcoholics Anonymous Central Office. It's the only thing I knew to do. Is get a hold of those guys. Maybe I can get some help. Thank you, God. I'm so grateful. I was either going to call LA or New York, but I'm calling AA Central Office, and I picked L.A., which is the best place you could have picked in 1987 because Roy was from Simi Valley. I call Alcoholics Anonymous Central Office, and a woman answered the phone. Thank God it was a woman. I said, I've been clean and sober 8 years now, but I think my husband, I think he thinks about sex all the time. She said, hold on a minute. And she took my number. She either took mine or gave me, I think she took my number, because a man from SA called me that night and started talking, and I said, I think I need to talk to your wife. Okay, I'll have her call you tomorrow. She's 9 months pregnant. And she did. She called me the next day, and she just said five things. Started out. Sexaholism. It's called sexaholism. And when she said it, you guys, I completely relaxed. God, I had a name for it. Completely relaxed. And then she said, you got to start going by your gut. She said that Essanon is a fatal disease. You got to quit asking loaded questions. And you can throw a rock at an AA meeting and hit a sexaholic. And it's those five things I never forgot. And you're talking to somebody that can't remember a lot. I have a tendency to black out a lot. But I remembered those five things. And then I had the number. I got the number to the guy that called me. And when my husband came home from work, hey, Mike, here's a number. I'll give the guy credit. He called him. And apparently they had a good talk. He was a truck driver at the time. And we live in Oregon. And he drove his truck up there to Portland and went to the SA Fellowship in Portland and never left. He's never left the program. And I got two women I knew that were married to SAs. One was Al-Anon and one was AA that was in recovery. And the three of us started our meetings in the back of that girl's bookstore. We'd take our chairs at night and go in there. And Essanon with that lady that called me on the phone, I'll always be very, very grateful for her. The one that I got to talk to.
How much time have I got?
Huh?
That's it.
Done? Yeah. Oh, darn it. Anyway, okay, where was I? When she called me... here it is. She sent all kinds of literature through the mail. It was coming, and it's what Essanon was using in 1987. And there's one sentence in the piece of literature that I've never forgotten, and it said, we will define ourselves and others. I used to read the literature she was sending. We will define ourselves and others. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and stop because I'm out of time, but... it's worked for me, and I thank God that I called L.A., not New York. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for sharing. I guess I didn't say ahead of time. We can do four and one because there's just a few here. It's kind of quiet, the little dinger, because we're recording.
So, I think we could have gone longer.
Yeah. So that's 5 minutes. Yeah. Four and one. Thank you. It's open for sharing. I actually have a reading. It is in the Green Book, page 39, Hoping in a Higher Power. The only solution to my fear, my desire to control, and my feelings of victimization has been to live 1 minute at a time and to act as if I trust God, even when I don't. I look back on my losses, and even though I see that each one in the end turned out the best for me, I still feel angry and fearful. But I do know one thing for sure. I am not God. This small amount of humility allows me to know that I do not know what is best for me or anyone else. I have seen that things I thought were best were not. And as a result, I'm beginning to see that my self-righteousness is not based in reality. This gives me the hope that God does know what is best for me. I know that I cannot get my partner sober or save our relationship. Only God can. I must let go of trying to control and let God do whatever it is He is going to do, even if I don't want to. I don't know if that is willingness, but that is all I have.
Hi, I'm Donna.
Hi, Don.
And I think that this, to me, this is a really interesting and kind of a challenging topic, and it relates to so many things that have happened in my life. My history is that I actually was married to an alcoholic for 20 years, and looking back on it, I'm pretty sure he also was a sex addict as well, a sexaholic. And but I'm actually here because I married a man who is in SA. And it was kind of enlightening because I knew that from the very beginning of when we began to date. He was incredibly honest about it. And it was, for me, very liberating because one of my challenges is to be honest about who I am. And it was incredible that this man showed up in my life with a problem that let me free myself. You know, that if he could be honest about that, I could be honest about my problems, because in my mind they weren't that big, but they were. And what I've found as I think about the higher power, it's almost like it's more of an everyday relationship that I just need to keep my heart open for when my higher power and God is showing up in my life. I think of it as spiritual awakenings, and some of them are pretty small, but they are meaningful to me and keep me grounded in what's important in my heart. And it's as simple things as we go for a walk every morning with our dog in a park, and if my heart is open to what's happening in that park around me, it starts the day right with my relationship to the world in balance. And if we miss that, it's a little harder. But I do find that those spiritual awakenings happen constantly once I started to open my heart to look for them. And it helps me, as difficult things happen, to know that that is still there for me to lean on, that that presence is there for me every day. One of the things I think about the care that I get from my higher power is one of the things I learned in yoga, actually. And you can do it anywhere. I take a breath, I let it out, and I have everything I need in this moment. The universe has provided that for me right now. And so that, for me, is something I can grip onto when chaos is around me. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing. I have another reading. This is one of my favorites. It's in The Courage to Change, February 4, page 35. My sponsor said this to me a lot when I first got into the program. Sometimes when I am unhappy with my situation, I feel that God is punishing me. Once again, I've lost my image of a loving God and need to recover it. It helps to call my sponsor, who reminds me that God is not a terrorist. I read Al-Anon literature and go to extra meetings. Mostly, I walk beside the river and talk with God about how afraid I am. I watch the water and thank God for the good things in my life. Al-Anon recovery the gift of the 12 steps, creativity, and the joy I have expressing it. All my loving Al-Anon family. After I've talked it through, I sit and wait until I feel God's healing touch reassuring me, drying my tears. The funny thing is that after I'm through those hard times, I never truly remember the pain. What I remember is the sunshine on the water, the peace of the moment, the love of my higher power wrapping around me as tangibly as the sunshine. The pain is gone, but the increased trust in my higher power remains. Today's reminder, when faced with difficult or painful situations, I can remember that a loving God is always here for me, always available as a source of comfort, guidance, and peace. No one is alone if they've come to believe in a power greater than themselves. Sponsorship, what it's all about. Sure. Come on up.
I've got a couple situations, more than one, that have really, really helped me through the years. One, I was working at a restaurant in a small town that we live in, and I don't know why I asked this question, you guys, but I asked the cook, have you ever heard of that expect a miracle? And she said, yeah, I have heard that. And then I asked a waitress a little later, have you ever heard of expect a miracle? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that. I've heard of it. And then that night I went into town. I was going to go to a meeting and went over to my mother-in-law's house to drop my son off. I said, Caroline, have you ever heard of that expect a miracle? She says, yeah, my mother used to say it. I've heard that. And I asked Mike's brother, have you ever heard of that, Gary? Yeah. So I asked four people. I mean, this is strange. I don't even know where I got that expect a miracle, but I asked four people. Anyway, I left my son and drove in. They got AA downstairs and Al-Anon upstairs, and I was going to both programs. And I thought, when I went through the door, I think I'll go upstairs to Al-Anon today. So I went up to Al-Anon, sat down, and a tall lady named Madeline walked across the room before the meeting started. Here, Jerry, I've been meaning to give you this for a long, long time. It's a little sticker, and it said, expect a miracle. And she told me later, she said when she was leaving her house, her purse fell out, everything in her purse fell out on the table. And she said, oh, I've been meaning to give that to Jerry for a long, long time. So it remembered Madeline. And then there was, I've still got the sticker. Okay, then there was another time that Mike and I needed some money. We were real in a bad situation financially. He was driving truck at the time, and he was across the United States in a semi. And he said, hey, he called me and said, we got to get a loan. We need money for taxes or something to do with the truck. I don't want to get a loan. This is a little old house that we bought in this little country. Finally got it paid for. I don't want a loan. He just hung up. We need money. And I thought to myself, I was alone in the house. I don't want to get a loan on this house, okay? I'm saying to myself. And a thought as clear as a bell. It isn't your house. Huh. As soon as I got that thought, my whole thing changed. And oddly enough, the day before in the mail, we had gotten a big manila envelope from our CPA with all of our tax things in it. I went down to the bank in the little town I live in, started the proceedings, and got a loan. One sentence, it isn't your house. And it wasn't my, that didn't come from me. That's not my thinking, and I knew it. Anyway, thank you guys.
Thank you. if nobody would like to share, I have more stories about my higher power. So I wanted a better relationship with my higher power. And one way that prayer, meditation, and I'm saying, God, I want a better relationship. I want what other people have, because I just really felt like I didn't have it. And so, I have this thought, okay, we'll pursue it. And I'm thinking, how do I pursue it? So just as, I'm throwing ideas out, I went ahead and I put alarms on my phone 3 times a day. And when those alarms went off, I just said a quick prayer. It might be that, thank you for this parking spot. Thank you for that compliment. Or, thank you for whatever kind of harmony that was necessary in the home. It didn't have to be anything important, because I was just training myself to turn to my higher power. And, after a while, I didn't need alarms anymore. And it just kind of became part of my day. So as that progressed, in my room where I have my prayer and meditation, I on the wall I have a decal. And the end of it says, trust God. And so I would start my day, because I really didn't know how to do this. I didn't know how to build a relationship with my higher power. So I would just, in my journaling, I would say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you today. And I would always say, I don't know what that looks like. And I know that later today, I may not be able to do that. But I'm starting my day with that intention. And it just kind of became what I would do or, think during the day. Something happens and I say, okay, trust God. That's been amazing for me. Also, with this recent discovery, because my faith has grown and this relationship has grown, I found out about something, and then a couple days later, I found out about something else. And, both times he says, this is everything. So I said, I found this out, and I need you to do whatever it takes to get to this place at 5 p.m. so we can talk about this. This is important. So I get there, and my husband's at the picnic table, and I'm standing because I don't want to sit down. I'm having this argument in my head, and I'm like, I don't want to sit down. And I know I should, and I'm saying, but I just don't trust him. And I think, I just really had this feeling where God said, you're not supposed to trust him. You're supposed to trust me. You need to sit down. And I sat down, and my husband had a timeline for the last 6 years. And, these were the details that he left out in, a week earlier. And I was okay. I left there, and I said, before I get up, I'm going to get up here in about 10 minutes, and I'm going to leave. And I want that paper. And he didn't want to give it to me. I said, do you trust me? Because I had been trustworthy, and it was hard for him. But did he trust me? And did he trust his higher power? And I left with that paper. I haven't done anything with it. But the whole idea is that he and I need to learn to trust each other, and we also need to trust in our higher power, and more will be revealed. So thank you for letting me share again. I have another reading. Again, The Courage to Change. And I'm very fond of The Courage to Change because when I got into program, Reflections of Hope did not exist yet. And so my sponsor was like, okay, you go read this book. So, Courage to Change, March 9, page 69. I often struggle to know what is my will and what is God's. I feel serenity slipping from me while a war is waged within my mind and loud voices urge me to take one path or another. Doubt is an unavoidable companion of spiritual seeking. I don't have an instruction book, so I must continue to explore and challenge my perceptions. I know that when I feel a desperate urge to act, it is usually my will that is pushing. And when I feel a calm certainty, it is usually God's. But much of the time, I don't have a clear indication. What then? Sometimes I wait for clarity or try to listen more closely for guidance. I may share my confusion and ask for the wisdom of others. Or I may just make a choice. Take an action. See what happens. More will be revealed when the time is right, no matter what choice I make. Since I have turned my will and my life over to God, any choice I make can be used to carry out His will. Today's reminder, I will remember that uncertainty is not a fault, but an opportunity. Everything I do and everything that crosses my path, people, situations, and ideas all have the potential to contribute to my growth and understanding. Just for today, I don't have to know what that contribution will be. There lives more faith in honest doubt, believe me, than half the creeds. Alfred Lloyd Tennyson. We have time for another share.
What time does the meeting end?
I think 11. I'm looking right now. Wow.
Another half hour.
Oh, we have plenty of time for sharing. Well, anybody would like to share a burning desire, also pressing problems, if anybody has that. Otherwise, we'll end in about 10 minutes. Can we discuss the parking lot right after this? Mm-hmm. Because this meeting is recorded.
Any pressing things?
Any pressing problem? So, any discussion about the topic?
So the topic, this topic is about asking the higher power. And I am on this journey for 3 years and 7 months. And I found the program for over 2 years. I wish that I had found the program earlier because the program is where I find so many tools. I found a community of supports. I found acceptance, love, and belonging, which is something that I don't have. And so it's really helped with my healings and the programs. Today, someone was sharing and talking about this is how I worked the program in order to heal me. And I worked this program for a long time. And I said, but you know, I never ask myself that, how do I work the program in order to heal me? I know that I go to meeting, I talk to my sponsor, I talk to my sponsee, which is really helpful because that remind me of where I came from and how far I have gone. And not only that, but I see the growth in my sponsee, and that make me feel that, you know, is reassure me the program is working. But yet, I'm still having problem. And today, what I need to ask my higher power is to help me to learn to accept. You know, we say the prayer, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the past. I cannot change the past. It's over. It's over. I can't relive that. But I pray that He, and I know He gave me the courage to change. And so I ask in my higher power to continue to give me the courage to not let the past hold me back and determine my present. I cannot let the past go, but I cannot bring it up every day in a way that it will hurt my healings, hurts my forward movement. So I think everything happened, and how God allowed that to happen for me to grow as a person. And I think that as long as, and I'm lucky that my husband is still here with me and my children, and so I still have all that gifts in front of me and the gifts of this program where I can take that and be grateful that I still have these things. And God put these things on my path so I can learn to heal. And as long as we are healing, we are growing, and we are learning. And as slow as it takes, we're growing, we're healing. And that the day that I feel despair, the day that I felt the rage coming on when I think about the past, that's when I have to close my eyes and ask God to be with me in this moment, to think, to see the present that I'm seeing, and that the past is only there for me to learn, to grow, to have the awareness. But it's not going to be there anymore to hurt me. So I have to focus on where I am today, on the presence. And that is my, and I ask God also, my higher power, to help me help those out there to fight for their serenity, their peace. Okay, so many people that have not found this program yet, and they are living in suffering and pain. And I'm here fighting for me, and I'm fighting for them. So I pray for that. I pray for all the partners, and the addicts, and all those who suffering out there, to find our higher power and to be able to surrender to that. So that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Sorry about that timer. The meeting is open for any kind of sharing. Please feel free. Here's the closing reminder. This is an anonymous program. We ask all members to respect our anonymity.
The stories you hear are told in confidence and should not be repeated outside the meeting, including to spouses or family members. They are told so that we might better understand this program and ourselves, and to give encouragement and help to the newcomer so that we may keep what we have been given. I would like to read the Serenity Prayer. We said the Serenity Prayer. And if we could all gather. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.